How many in here likes weeds? I'm not a real good fan of them myself. They don't. And I used to attack them a lot worse than I do now. Sometimes I just let them be too, because it's a lot easier sometimes and gather it all up at once. But you see, Jesus today understood the reality in ways that none of us will ever know. He lived in a world as the Son of Man, the incarnation of God in human flesh, fully God and fully human. You see, His awareness of the interrelatedness of all life shines no brighter than in His parables. The Bible is full of His parables, how He told stories. He shared them with us so that we could understand. And sometimes He went and told another parable, and then later He would come back and explain the first parable. But see, in our gospel lesson today, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus peels away a simple truth that too often we miss. See, the parable describes a farmer who, like we talked about last week, about how they went and they just broadcast the seeds on the ground that had not been turned yet. And we talked about the seeds that fell and the birds ate, the seeds that fell in the ground and there was not much root, and when the sun came up or out, the plants went down. We talked about those that were thrown amongst the thorns and was choked out, but then we also talked about the good seeds, those that made it. So here the farmer is still broadcasting, sowing those seeds in the fields. And as in years past, he set aside the very best seed from last year's harvest, rightly believing the health of his farming business was dependent upon sowing the best seed year after year. He sowed the best. But this year, something terrible happened. An enemy sowed weeds among the wheat. Oh, it was a terrible act that even the most experienced farmer could not detect until the young plants broke through the ground and began to mature. And as he looked out over his field one morning, he noticed that ugly, ugly, choking weeds were growing amongst the prized beauty of his wheat that gave him his livelihood. Now his workers, here they saw that and they feared for their own jobs, and they asked the farmer a question. They said, "You sowed good seeds in your field, didn't you?" Can you hear what they were really asking in that question? Can you really hear it? They are asking for mercy, lest their master believe that they sabotaged the crop. Thinking on their feet, the workers offered to go into the field and pull up all the weeds. But the master, the landowner, that farmer, however, stunned everybody that day. He stunned his workers and everybody that was listening by telling them to leave the field alone. In gathering the weeds, he says, "Pulling up those weeds, you're going to uproot the wheat along with it. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers to collect the weeds first. Bind them in bundles to be burned. But then gather the wheat into my barn, into the storehouse." End of story. Thank you very much. That's a nice little tale. Or is it? Oh no. Actually, as with this parable of the owner, our Lord offers an interpretation later on in verses 36 through 43, teaching His disciples then and now that weeds are a fact of the kingdom of life, sown in our world by the enemy, but destined for the fire of judgment at the end of time. It reminds us that everything has a consequence. There's consequences to what we do. There's something to the end of it, that we are going to be judged at the end of time by our Lord. In a word, there is no escaping the reality of the weeds. The enemy sows seeds in our world. They grow among the wheat. They grow among us. We are all together living. But in God's great harvest, the weeds will not prevail. They're not going to make it. You see, there is another message here worth hearing that has as much to do with our lives right now as it does with God's harvest at the end of time. You see, make no mistake about it. God will bring the harvest at the end of the age. That's God's job. He will bring forth the harvest. And when God does that transforming, recreating work, all the weeds of life will be bundled and burned in the fire of God's consuming life. You see, that's God's job. It's our job to be the best that we can be. We need to be the best plants. We need to be the best wheat. We need to be the ones that are there that are helping, that are sharing, that are producing good fruit. It says, what does this parable mean for you and I today? Perhaps the key to hearing this parable has to do with weed control. Think of just one of the ugly, hurtful, death-dealing realities that we have in our world today. We have lots of them. We have war. We have hunger. We have extreme poverty. We have disregard for the sacred nature of life. Each and every day we hear, if you listen to the news on any way, whether you get it on your phone, whether you get it on the radio, whether you hear it at the news, whether you read it in the paper, no matter where you get it, people are murdered daily for the most inane things you've ever seen, for no reason at all. The sanctity of life matters not. It's there. People do not care. It's happening. It happened years ago. It happened in Bible times. People would just slaughter whole villages. It has happened. It happens in war. People are dying for no reason. There is hatred. There is racism. It is just, our world is rampant. We get the picture, don't we? We just know that there's bad out there. But at times our world seems to choke from the weeds growing in God's field. Sometimes we allow that to overcome the goodness of God's beauty and God's field in who we are. So what are we to do? And what do we do about it? We rally to weed control. Take almost any destructive issue among us and you will find faithful people who urge us to organize, march, petition, and marshal all the forces of God's church to root out the weeds. But you know what? Jesus offers us another option. You see, it's not as popular as some among us will say that our world is corrupt and there's no hope, that Christian people must fight to root out the weeds. Yeah, that's not what our Lord advises. No. In fact, Jesus not only suggests, but He commands. He commands that we leave the weeds alone. This one singular instruction flies in the face of what we would call common decency. We just can't let the weeds take over, can we? No. You see, Jesus doesn't suggest that either. To the contrary, Jesus actually admonishes us to be so focused, on sowing and nurturing and encouraging and growing the gospel, growing in love, growing the gospel wheat, that the weeds will not survive. You see, if we are doing what God has called us to do, what He has called us to be, about the goodness of life, if we are sowing good seeds, if we are out there nourishing other people, if we are encouraging folks along the way, if we are growing in the gospel, what are we doing? Are we growing stronger? Rather than pulling up the weeds, Jesus calls us to grow strong, healthy, bountiful wheat. That's what we're supposed to be. We're the wheat. We are His children. You see, that is exactly the message our Lord gave Peter. Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, saying to him, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He tells him that. Meaning what? Meaning that hell's fury will never stop God's church when God's people are committed to grace, living in love, and being God's presence in the world. You know, when we are committed to being graceful human beings, when we are committed to living in love, and we are committed to being God's presence in this world, it will happen. We can overcome these things around us. Weed control has nothing to do with pulling up weeds. Rather, we control has everything to do with being strong, being healthy, nourishing wheat. We got to be strong. We got to be healthy. We've got to be that nourishment for others. You ask today, how does that work? Simply put, Jesus said in Matthew 5:41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, what are you supposed to do? Go also the second mile. Stun people with how generously you serve. And again in chapter 5, verse 39, it says, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn also the other. You see, more gospel grows on turned cheeks than on clenched fists. You know, people like to say, you know, what happens? What is your first response if someone wants to hit you? You're probably going to ball up your fist and hit them back. But he tells us to do what? To turn the other cheek. It's not easy to do. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the extra mile. Have you ever gone somewhere and done something when you are asked to be a part of something? Do you just do the basics so you can get out of there, or do you leave it better than you found it? You know, that's a good rule of hand to have. If you, say, rent the community building and you walk in and you found that somebody had left the trash or somebody hadn't flushed a toilet, well, I get to hear these things. People seem to think I need to know them. Or that, you know, somebody left a light on or somebody didn't lock a door. Whoop-de-doo. But the thing about it is, well, what I say is turn it off. Turn the light off. Close. Do it yourself. Take care of it. And if you go over there and you're having a function, leave it better than you found it. Isn't that what God tells us to do in His Word? To leave it better than you found it. Go the extra mile. Do something a little bit better. Don't worry about what somebody else didn't do or forgot to do or maybe didn't have time to do. Don't worry about that, because that's what's wrong. We're not putting on that goodness. We're not putting on good wheat. We're not being healthy wheat. We're not being encouraging wheat. We're not being the wheat that God has called us to be. You see, this is the power of the gospel that's been unleashed in a world that knows neither how nourishing God's love in Christ really is, nor how transforming God's grace can be. You see, the world around us doesn't know this. How transforming can God's grace be? You see, weed control has nothing to do with pulling weeds. Weed control has everything to do with being God's people of grace and truth, acceptance and forgiveness, generosity and hospitality in the world. The way of life in Christ is ultimately the way of love. We've got to love people for who they are, for where they are, for what they're doing, for what they're not doing. We have to love them where they are. We have to love people the way God loves people. We have to look past and look beyond and look at their heart and soul. This week, refuse to get caught up in any calls other than the movement that Jesus launched 2,000 years ago. His movement is like a field in which a farmer sowed good seed, believing that God would one day gather a bountiful harvest from the choices we make to live the good news in Jesus Christ. Be the good news this week. Be the good news. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for all that You do for us. We thank You for the blessings of life. We know, Lord, that we are about Your business. Lord, that weed control is about loving, about caring, about being there for others. Lord, I ask this day that You just open up our hearts and our minds and to show us what it is You would truly have us do. Go with us this day. And remind us each and every moment of our days and the weeks to come that, Lord, it's about Your business that we are about. Not worrying about what others have or have not done, what others could do, but what it is you have called us to do and be. And when we start doing that, we will be able to move forward. We will be able to grow. We will be able to grow stronger in what it is you have called us to do and be. Lord, be with us now. Continue to bless our time and hold us close. For it is in your Son's great and holy name we do pray. Amen.